It's going down right now with the Joseph Bard Podcast. Make sure y'all watch the Joseph Bard Podcast ringing off right now. I am the KID, the Kid Capri. You know what it is. Salute. Block party action.
What's up, everybody? It's your Joe's Bot Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Bot Palacios, and we're here back again for another podcast. It's been a minute, but hey, we have Samuel Reyes. Samuel Reyes, how's it going, my man?
How's it going, Joseph Bot? Doing good. Thank you for having me, brother. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you coming on, man. Like I said, it's been a minute. It's been a while, man. There's been a lot that has transpired since the last time I've been on air. But, you know, Where can we find the podcast? Well, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music, we are on YouTube. So, you know, if you feel the need to go ahead and listen in your car or on video, we are always available. So once again, Samuel Reyes, hey man.
This is education, inclusivity, and transparency. I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com, Elect Samuel. So I hope everybody can check it out.
Okay. All right, my man. So, you gave me a lot of information right there. And from what I've gathered is that you're running for a position, and this position is in the county of Hidalgo in Texas. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct.
All right. So you're running for the chair position. And what I've gathered is that you've been volunteering, you've been legal advisor to the party, you know, and one of the things that strikes me always is, you know, the legality, the legal advisor. So are you an attorney, man?
Yes, I am an attorney. Been practicing for, it'll be 14 years in May. I was a former prosecutor back in 2009. I was a misdemeanor prosecutor for about 18 months. And since then, I've had my own law practice since 2010, focusing on personal injury, criminal defense, and family law, and a little bit of general practice with contracts, business disputes, and things.
Hey man, so I have a lot of listeners and a lot of my base, it, you know, ranges in ages. I personally have like
defenses.
Got it. Hey man, so I mean, you look very young. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you, man?
I'm 39.
Okay, 39. And so what made you want to become an attorney, if you don't mind?
I wanted to become an attorney. I learned because it was something very interesting to me. The law always seemed, you know, something that was extremely interesting. I saw how the law affects all of our lives. I always loved to argue. I love to debate, just, you know, I with the law and how it's, you know, such an important, you know, part of our society, the legal field. And so was very interested in that, saw that it was something that you know, that my family on my mother's side actually are lawyers, her uncles and whatnot are lawyers in the country of Colombia. And so, you know, that also kind of, I was very interested in that. And, you know, I gave it a shot. I went to law school. My father, you know, who you know, did very good in raising, you know, hardworking children. And he always showed us his work ethic. He also said, you know, that's a great career. You should go for it. You should become an attorney. And so that's what I did.
Wow, man. Hey, so, I mean, in Colombia, you had uncles that were attorneys. Tell me a little bit about that, man. What was the relationship that you...
It's actually my mother's family that was attorneys. My mom's dad, he was sort of like what is they would tell me was considered more of like a prosecutor, and that people in his brother, so it's my mom's uncles, were attorneys. Okay. And this is what I'm told. I did not know them personally. I didn't meet them, you know, personally. But they had, what I always tell me is how, you know, we have people on that side of my family, my mom's side of my family, that were attorneys in Colombia. And I learned that when I was, you know, at the time around that I, you know, was deciding on what I was going to do as well. And that was something also that influenced me. And I said, man, that's cool.
Around what age were you being told these stories, man?
Probably around college age, you know, at the time, you know, when I was in college, having to make that decision of what I was going to do, whether I was going to go into the workforce or whether I was, you know, going to go to graduate school, like I ended up doing.
Yeah.
you know, that was one of the stories that that I would hear. And I would just kind of get that from my uncles and my mom, you know, telling me about, you know, I had an uncle named Pedro Nel, who was in Colombia, who was a lawyer. My mom's dad was, I want to say he was like a prosecutor, or if he wasn't a prosecutor, he was like a head law enforcement person in Colombia. Right.
You know, it's crazy, man, because oftentimes, you know, we forget, we talk and we'll say stories and so forth, and we think nobody's listening. But it's crazy how, like, sometimes these stories can cause a change in people's lives. You know, words matter. I think once we get to the end of our road and in this journey of that we call life, you know, we think what mattered, and that's where we're at, man. So why does running for campaign, for chair in your county of Hidalgo, why does that matter?
It's crucial. I mean, it goes back to what I'm saying about, you know, policies, the law, the policy, the government, that affects everyone. Mm-hmm. That affects everyone's life, what law we're going to live under, what policies we're going to live under. And the ideals of this country are very beautiful, you know, of justice for all, equality. These are the ideals that we were founded on. And these are sort of, you know, enlightenment kind of ideals, because before this and before, you know, our country and going back, you know, hundreds of years in Great Britain and in Europe and in other countries, you know, you had the divine right of kings, and you didn't have, you know, equality and justice for all. You had, you know, what you were going to do with your life, what caste you were going to be in. And as they had the caste system like from India, but, you know, most countries had some form or another of, hey, if you were born into, you know, a family where you're a family of farmers, then you're going to be a farmer. If you were born into the aristocracy or into the royalty or one of those things, then you're going to get to be, you know, one of the leaders, one of the rulers.
Yeah, yeah. That's very interesting and very intriguing to me personally. I always pose that question, man. Like, what made me so lucky to be born into my family? You see what I'm saying? Like, because like you just mentioned, right now, you if you're in a caste system, you know, if you and I are neighbors, but yet my family, you know, is gonna do iron. You know, they're gonna do iron works, and your family's gonna do field work. You know, so, you know, that's just what you were born into, and that's what you're going to do. But the beautiful thing about our country, as you said, you know, we have the ability to make something great of our life.
Right. We have, you know, we have this, and these are the ideals. And I think that, you know, the ideals are always something different from what is reality. And I think we owe as a duty, and the reason that I'm running and the reason that I ask people to please vote and please get involved is because it is our duty to try to reach as, you know, strive for that ideal, get to those ideals that we have of really getting to justice for all, really getting to equality. You know, we know, you know, from the statistics and you know, what we've learned is, yeah, we've had those ideals, you know, when this country was founded, but we didn't get there right away. And we've been making progress slowly but surely, even until we are right now. And my concern now is that sort of a lot of the things that's going on in both parties, but really, I think the Republican Party is more the party that is wanting to take things back right now with what happened with Trump and with a lot of, you know, what's going on with a lot of this far right influence, that they want to take things back as opposed to moving things forward like that when we're talking about the heartbeat bill that passed in Texas and a lot of these voter suppression and voter fraud laws that are passing all over the country that are designed to suppress the vote, sort of going, you know, backwards instead of progress, which is giving more people the right to vote.
Yeah, you just talked about the heartbeat bill, and that just recently got passed. And based on what I was reading, you know, it talks about like the moment that a heartbeat is present, a woman can no longer abort or something like that. So what's, you know, things like these matter for our people. And that's what you're saying, like, you know, we have to be present in our society in order to be able to understand what is exactly happening in our legislature. So good, kudos to you, man. That's awesome that you're getting involved. You know, moving forward, man, I know you're in a hot spot in Texas of immigration. Care to share and explain a little bit of what's your take on that?
Sure. Yeah. And thank you for asking me that question, Joseph. About, immigration is something that touches me personally because both of my parents immigrated from their respective countries to come to this country seeking the American dream. And I believe that immigration is a natural human, it's a natural human behavior. We move around. We've been doing it since the beginning of humanity. We move from, you know, different places, seeking a better life, seeking more opportunities. And this is sort of our freedom. That to me is ideal of freedom. That's representative of what freedom is. And so in this country, you have this kind of divide where you've got the Republicans and the right, which were taking more of this like strict, you know, hard line of, you know, well, let's just enforce, you know, our immigration laws that are on the books. And, you know, if you really enforce the immigration laws that are on the books, it would really call for deporting like 11 million people, undocumented people that are here without permission that technically could be removed from the country under the law, which would destroy our economy. And it's completely impractical. It's not only is it impractical, it's inhumane. Right. And it would destroy many of those families.
I mean, and that's so, like a mass exodus. I mean, shoot, 11 million people all in one time. I mean, obviously, I don't think that will happen in one time. But I mean, if it did, that's a huge, huge taking.
Well, it doesn't need to happen because, you know, most of these 11 million people that are undocumented here are actually hardworking, law-abiding people. And now when you say law-abiding, when I always get, you know, from the right and the Republicans, well, they're not law-abiding because they broke our law to cross the border to come into our country without the permission of the United States in violation of our law. But there's difference between laws that are, this is from law school, a bit of a terminology, malum in se and malum prohibitum. And malum in se laws are laws like murder and rape that we know they're bad and they're evidently bad and they're illegal because of that. Whereas malum prohibitum are laws that may not necessarily know they're bad, like the speed limit. We set the speed limit at, you know, 35 in some places. That may not just be self-evident that, you know, should have had to have been 35. I mean, somebody could have said it should have been 45, or what the tax rate is or other things. And I believe that the immigration laws are more having to do with kind of this other more abstract theory of sovereignty of the country, you know, the autonomy of the country, you know, the independence of the country. And we don't necessarily have to draw the line at any particular place. And I think that right now we've drawn the line too arbitrarily to keep out and to make lives difficult for a lot of good, hardworking people that have good families that want to contribute to the system, that pay taxes in the system, that should be given an opportunity to become citizens, to adjust, to find some pathway to either become residents, citizens, without having to leave the country and go establish residence in Mexico or you know, be deported or something. We should start making it easier for the people that are hardworking, good people to become citizens.
Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful platform for anybody. And, you know, I'm sorry, I was laughing because, you know, when you say malum and say and malum prohibitum, I mean, that to me sounds like a Harry Potter spell. Malum and say, malum prohibitum. You know, like I could definitely have a field day with that one. But again, that's an opportunity to teach somebody, hey, malum in se and malum prohibitum, you know.
Yeah, hey. Those are Latin terms. Yeah, malum in se. Learn them in law school. And it's like, you know, are some things are just malum in se. That means they're just, you know, like murder or something like that. And so those are just two
different. My daughters are definitely going to be hearing this all week long. Malum in se, malum in prohibitum. Yeah, man. Hey, so tell me a little bit more, man. So you're running on this for this campaign, and this is for the Democratic Party. So therefore, this is happening in the primary. You don't go into the general election, correct?
That's correct. This is just the primary election. This is for the Democratic County Chair for Hidalgo County. And so we need somebody that is going to hit the ground running, that's been with the party, that has relationships with a precinct chair. It's one of the things that I've been able to benefit from serving on the party, being on the board, and you know, is knowing all the board members and knowing the precinct chairs as well. I have relationships with a lot of the precinct chairs, and we have these relationships that we built that we that I believe that me being elected chair will capitalize on these relationships to do the really hard work that needs to be done between the time that between really now and November, but especially between the time that, you know, the new chair gets sworn in, which will be in July, up until the November election, which was going to be a critical election this year in 2022, especially for our district, Congressional District 15, which is under attack by the right, you know, basically trying to take advantage of what they saw happen in 2020, where they kind of, you know, gave us a run for our money, and they were actually got a lot closer than they have in years to actually defeating our Congressman Vicente Gonzalez, who is now switched over to District 34. And so, you know, whatever candidate it wins the nomination for District 15, the Democratic Party needs to do everything it can and use, you know, all hands on deck and every power it has to make sure that that candidate wins in November.
Right on. So, like, it's a team approach. It's a one team, one goal. Let's go ahead and win this, right? The type of mentality when we look at these politics and parties. You know, I understand. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of issues that are going on right now that people get so passionate about. You know, and you know, right now is definitely a good time to be talking about these and making sure that we're, you know, listening more than anything. You know, I have a lot of friends on the right, and I have a lot of friends on the left. I've never gotten into an argument with them, but we've gotten into, you know, agree to disagree, and that's okay, right? I mean, I think that's a bigger thing that we need to let our youth know, let our people know that we need to listen. Well, I mean, but again, I mean, I'm so happy that you're running. It always gave me great pleasure to interview individuals that are taking an interest in their community. Awesome.
Thank you also, because I know you've helped with the Democratic Party as well, and you know, you've been involved, and you know, you moderated the debates that we recently had, which I thought you did a great job, and we had some great debates, and you know, so thank you for that. I know that, you know, you've also been working on that.
Yeah, I mean, I welcome anybody to my platform. I mean, this is an opportunity for me to, like, just get to know people and just, you know, vibe with. Like I've told you before, I mean, my platform is just, let's talk like individuals, because at the end of the day, you and I are humans. And, you know, regardless of party, we can work together. Or if you choose not to, you know what? I don't need to talk to you, right? But in any case, man, I'm so happy that you're running. Sam, you will do great things. I wish you nothing but the best. I wish nothing but anybody that is running but the best, and I hope that they do it for all the right reasons. So with that being said, we are out of here. This was a short segment with Mr. Samuel Reyes, candidate for Hidalgo County chair. And, you know, I hope you watch it. Like it, share it, subscribe. We'll see you soon, man. Have a good one.